Bring you greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here and worship God with you. And we look forward to hearing what he would have for us this evening through his word. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll read the entire chapter, 26 verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherewith I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word shall eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they only gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive of him at his will. Well, I don't know about you, but there's plenty there for me to work on. And we trust that God will challenge us and instruct us further as we go on through the service. Let's kneel and pray.
Scripture says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. Those are precious words to think about. That God has redeemed me. I have called thee by your name. You are mine. Do you have that? Are you Jesus Christ tonight? Do you know that for certain? Do you know that the waters are never going to get too high? And you're going to be able to walk through whatever fire God has called you to walk through, and you will not be burned. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and of a sound mind. Lord, please give us that spirit of power rather than a spirit of fear. I'm amazed at how fast a day can go. I was kind of looking forward to this week. I'm not working at my landscape job, and I wake up maybe 8 o'clock in the morning, and I have all day. And I don't know, from 8 to 5:30 or 5:15 when we pull out is about the fastest time I've ever lived. But God is faithful, and we're here again tonight, and looking forward to sharing a message with you again this evening. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans 8. Maybe you don't need your Bible by now. I was thinking, we're starting the second half. We made it through the first half. And it's probably soon time to start letting your Bible on the bench and being able to quote these verses without the scripture in front of you. I invite you to stand and we'll say them together, either with your word or maybe you just have to have a cheat sheet like me, however the Lord. But we want to work at getting these in our heart. So we're going to say the reference, scripture, and reference. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he have hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Romans 8, 24 and 25. I think the driving point there is that really, if we don't quite see it, then we have patience to stay focused on it. It's that little bit of that unknown that we don't quite have, but that we got to stay focused. It's like when you're deer hunting, you can't be watching around. I always wondered how many deer walked past that I never saw because I wasn't looking in the right direction. I'm sure I missed many of them. But God calls us. It's a hope that's seen and unseen at the same time. And it's the unseen that drives us to be focused. I invite the chorister to come front and lead us in the living hope. Thank you for taking the challenge. Now you can relax. It went really well for you. I'm sorry I put you on learning a new song, but I trust that the words in the song are becoming sweet to your heart to think the cross has spoken. And it's because of the cross that we are forgiven and the grave has no power. What a rich blessing we have. The title of the message is The Word of God Cannot Be Chained. Paul was sitting in prison, and they had Paul in prison because they thought they could chain the good news. They could chain the gospel, and they could halt the message. But even when Paul's in prison, he could not be chained because he was speaking the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Isaiah 55, an awesome scripture, For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. I think of the rain. I kind of find it interesting at work. In the spring of the year, the grass is growing faster than the lawnmowers can run. And we're hiring, trying to hire more people to sit on lawnmowers. And finally, they get enough people hired, and things are just ready to run smooth. And then it stops raining. And then it's like, what are we going to do with everybody that we now hired? That's not my responsibility, but I just was standing back and watching it all happen. And it all works out. And after a while, it starts raining again, and that grass turns green, and the flowers are pushing, and the bushes are growing again. And it's like, oh, now we need help again. That's the same way it is. God gives that illustration. Just as the rain and snow come down and make the earth bloom, he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. We meet for prayer between Sunday school and church at Heidelberg, and if I'm asked to pray, I always pray, or most always, I ought to give room for a little grace that I didn't miss it sometimes, but pray that God's word would go forth just as the rain and the snow bring life to earth. May your word today go forth as you desire, dear Lord. Sometimes when I'm working with people, I'm not quite sure, do you bring the word of God into their lives? Or is that going to feel offensive to them? My wife, actually we both sell stuff on eBay, and she sends some sort of track with everything she sells. And she just got something back this week, a letter from somebody that did not appreciate her words of good news. And they said, you know, I understand that faith is good for you, but I think just a thank you would have been a better way. So people sometimes are turned back, and you're not quite sure how to push with that. Luke has told me, Brother Luke Bucher there at Heidelberg, to encourage me to use the word of God and allow God's word to speak to people's lives. And that's what brings fruit. And so I think we needn't be afraid to share the word of God. I told you, I think, last night or a night or two ago about the gentleman that I met at work that did not know, never read the book of Job. And I should look at it here to make sure I get Job's words right. I shared a little bit of words with him from the scripture. And let me get them right here before I... Job says there in the end of chapter 1, he says, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I shared with him those words, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And I kind of think he just kind of fell in love with the word naked for whatever reason. He thought that was kind of cool. I told him he should get a book of Job and read it. So maybe that interests him. We'll trust God's word to bring fruit there. But I think I need to learn to make a shift to not be afraid to put out, when you're in conversation, use the word of God, because it is sharper and powerful than any two-edged sword. I'm going to work more out of the scripture that was read for us tonight than any other evening. So maybe you want to get your Bibles back there to 2 Timothy 2. And we're going to work our way through this chapter somewhat. He starts out there, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul had called Timothy his son, and he said to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13 is a very familiar scripture to us, and says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Strengtheneth is the same thing as I can do all things through Christ which makes me strong, or be strong. Probably a different word change there, but it's the same Hebrew language there. So be strong. I can do all things through Christ because he makes me strong. And then I thought of it's like, well, I wonder what verses before. And a lot of people quote 1 Corinthians 4, or Philippians 4:13, and probably all of you would be able to say that. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Why did Paul use those words? Does anybody know what verse 12 says? Or how Paul looked at himself before he wrote those words. It doesn't matter whether you're in Lancaster County or Lebanon County or York County, Paul is saying. He says, no matter what state I'm in, he says, I have learned to be, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So Paul is saying, no matter what I'm experiencing, whether I have all the goods, all the food in front of me that I need, or whether I wish I had another blanket, I'm cold, I'm frozen, I know how to be strong in Christ Jesus. No matter what he was experiencing, he knew the strength of God. So whether you need to lead a song that you're not quite, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Warren Wiersbe said, and if you want to write something down tonight, I think this is a good thing to write down, because I feel it's, I thought it was really well written. So if you want to write something down, get ready to write. The task of the local church is not to preserve the truth. The task of the local church is not to preserve the truth as in a museum, but to live it and to teach it to the generations to come. I hope you didn't come tonight to look at a museum and to be excited about just the relics that we're going to look at. But God's word is to be lived. It is to be taught to the generations to come. We're not to preserve the word of God as in a museum. So Paul starts out his talk here tonight in his writing here about verse 3 says, thou therefore endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy was to, he needed to join the army. In Acts 16:3, it talks about Timothy becoming part of Paul's team. Paul says, I would have, speaking to Timothy, I would have him to go forth with me. Or Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. Timothy was joining Paul in the fight. Something to remember is that this is, we're going to have times that we're going to struggle. We're going to have times that we need to know God's word. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. From Ephesians 6:10, put on that armor because we need it. We need the sword of the word of God and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and all the things that are listed there. It takes the discipline of a soldier. A good soldier learns to be disciplined, and an undisciplined soldier gets his teammates killed. When does discipline learn first as a soldier? If you want to be a good soldier, you need to learn to clean your room. How many know how to make your bed? How many people, I shouldn't ask that. How many people make your bed? Oh, you don't need to answer that one. But if you're a soldier in our army here in the United States, you need to know how to make your bed. And make it nicely. It might seem unimportant if you're a Marine that you need to keep your personal belongings organized, but it's the direct reflection of your discipline in the battlefield. After all, if a Marine can't make his bed properly, how can he be expected to maintain a clean weapon or a sharp bayonet or a properly packed parachute? Now, as I'm thinking of that list, I really think the packed parachute is pretty important. Because when it's got to be just right, because when you jump, the packing's all over. And what you packed is the way it's packed. And if it doesn't work because it was packed wrong, it's going to be a bad day. So discipline happens in air before the battlefield. And an incompetent warrior is a liability to his team that enemies will exploit. And undisciplined Marines get their teammates killed. So we are in God's army. We are like Marines, and we need to be disciplined in our walk with the Lord. We need to spend time with him. It's so key to having your day go well is to spend time in the Word of God. And, find something that works for you, and don't give up until you find something that works for you. For me, it's good to have... I always struggled as a young person. I shared this with a young man that stood here Sunday evening, I believe, that to find something that when you miss a day, you know what to do the next day. Or if you get to the end of something, what are you going to do next? And so the daily bread works good for me because it's scheduled for years. And, you know, if I miss a day, I know what, I'm not out of sync. So make sure you have something. And again, I'm sure Marines didn't always have their beds made right for a while. They had to keep learning that. They forgot to do something. So if you miss a day, you just come right back to it the next day and work at it and keep on it till it becomes a habit. In making your bed, I have no wrinkles allowed. The pillows need to be under the covers. The boots lined up with their laces tucked in. Another thing is wake up early. Some of us, that's more of a challenge than others, to wake up early. But stop and think about this one. If you were to get up 15 minutes earlier every day, say you get up at 7, now you're going to start at 6:45. If you were to add 15 minutes to your day, how would that work out? In a week's time, you would add 105 minutes of wake time extra. In a month's time, you would have 450 minutes extra, which turns out to be about 7.5 hours. That's almost a whole extra work day in a month's time. Gives you one extra work day. And in a year's time, you'll have a little over 2 weeks of time to choose what you will do with it. What do most of us do with that extra 15 minutes? Sleep. A great thing, right? Sleep is good. There's times maybe to challenge yourself and to jump at something. Proverbs 6, and as I'm thinking about sleep, Proverbs 6, 9 to 11 says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall my poverty come as one that travaileth, and they want as an armed man." Another way to say sluggard is from the New Living Translations. Translation is, "you lazy bones." Maybe that hits a little harder than a sluggard if you're spending too much time sleeping. Another thing I was challenged by, listening to some podcasts and getting some good habits. And on my dairy farming career, I almost consistently, unless for some reason we got to bed 9 o'clock for a week straight, I might be able to get up when the alarm went off in the first round. But usually I fought the battle of, you know, alarm went off. I set it ahead enough so I could hit the snooze. And I think I almost had my body trained that at 9 minutes I wake back up again, because that's how I trained myself. But off the farm, I know when I went into that year of VS, Mary and I were house mom and dad, what would it be like to be able to not have to get up to milk cows for, I ought to be able to at least get up, you know, once a week to study or something. But it really takes discipline to do that. Now that we're off the farm, I was challenged one time to try and jump up at the first ring of the alarm. And for some people, that's just an easy thing to do. They hear the alarm, they jump out. For the next person, they got to have a bunch of alarms set. And for a while, I was doing pretty good. The alarm hit. It's healthy. Something with some chemicals in your brain that if you hit the snooze, it messes up with your chemicals up there, and then you're not quite as good at functioning. So jump out of the bed when the alarm hits, and maybe you'll feel a whole lot better. Another thing that, as I was looking at a soldier, how to prepare yourself mentally and physically and spiritually for surprises is to put yourself in a difficult situation. Like, take some challenges, like maybe take a cold shower. And it was interesting. As I was preparing this message, I shared it at Heidelberg, so this was some time back, and I was reading over these ideas of how to challenge yourself. And you know what? We ran out of oil that Friday night when I was preparing this message, and I would have had a great opportunity to take a cold shower. And the reason I ran out of oil is because I had this philosophy that I was only trying to fill my oil tanks once a year. We have some propane heat that helps to make that an option. So I was trying to make them go as long as they could, and I did. I ran them out, and because I hadn't quite got far enough yet, I thought that we would have to do that. But I pitied my wife that she would have to take a cold shower. So I went and bought diesel fuel at the gas station, and we all had a hot shower. It was just kind of interesting. Here I am thinking about, you know, challenge myself. One way to do that is to take a cold shower, and God really was going to give me that opportunity, for whatever that's worth. Something else, face a fear, lead a song you don't feel comfortable with, do a difficult task. Some things that you, is there people that you're holding grudges against and you're not willing to forgive? I think that's a difficult task. Be willing to forgive and no grudges. And this includes yourself. Sometimes I think we beat ourselves up harder than we beat up our friends. But we as individuals are people, and we need to be okay with our mistakes. I mean, last night, or maybe it was two nights ago, I told us we're going to stand for a closing song, I thought I said, and apparently I said a closing prayer. And I have to be okay with those kind of things. Forgive myself. So a soldier, you need to be disciplined. Not be struggling with the affairs of this world, and be strong. Next, he says you are to be like an athlete. An athlete, they train about 20 to 30 hours a week. That may not seem too high, but it's because of the rest to work ratio that is trying to manage. So if you work 20 hours, train for 20 hours, the ratio is like 1-3 or maybe 1-6. Depends how what your trainer is. And then I had to think, children, don't get too excited that, you know, if you worked a few hours, you need to rest. So think of, don't get too excited about you need to rest because you worked some already. But the question would be for you to ask, have you worked as hard as an athlete trains? Athletes put a great effort in their training. I have here my notes. I think we talked about it earlier in the week. Philippians 2:5 says to have the attitude, your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had, and he was willing to give up his home and come to earth. What are we willing to give up? We talked about on hope on Sunday morning, we talked about not allowing our experiences to dictate our destiny, but rather allow our destiny to have an impact upon our experiences. Experience does not create the state of mind. The state of mind creates the experience. And our state of mind, if our state of mind is like that of Christ, then we will not be affected as deeply by our experiences. An athlete, Paul also says, was to play by the rules. It's interesting in verse 19, a lot of times the church gets blamed for having too many rules or too many guidelines. Verse 19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if you're going to follow Christ, you need to depart from iniquity. You must play by the rules. So we're supposed to be strong like a soldier, disciplined. We're supposed to be dedicated like an athlete. If he's striving for the gold, he's temperate in all things. And then we're also, if we're supposed to be strong like a farmer. Verse 6 says, the husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And I was trying to figure that one out. What is Paul trying to tell us there? The husband that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. I think that gives the idea that we are to find joy in our labors. That the farmer, he has joy in bringing that crop in. So be strong like a soldier, disciplined, dedicated like the athlete, obeying the rules, and find joy in serving the Lord. Paul then goes on to say in verse 8 and 9, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. I think as we think about the word of God and not being bound. One is to remember that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He was raised from the grave. Paul is giving that here as a key that you need to keep that. You need to know that if you're going to be disciplined. You need to know that if you're going to play by the rules. And you need to know that to have the joy in your service. And I think as life goes on, I mean, the church keeps moving. As I'm speaking to the church as a whole, that they keep accepting things in. And after the church, it's going to come into the church that there's more ways to heaven. And you can get to heaven with other ways as well. But the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ as Messiah. And that is the only way. Don't, young people, be ready to fight that battle. Because I believe that you're going to fight that more closely than you realize today. That Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And he did rise from the grave. A very important point for us to keep us on as we labor like a soldier, like an athlete, and like a farmer. The love of Christ constrains us. Verses 11 to 13, we're dead with Christ, so we're going to live with Christ. Romans 6 talks about if we're planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul told also about there in the beginning, thou therefore endure hardness, endure suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I like the words from Hebrews 11:38. It talks about all those people of faith. And then getting near the end of the chapter, and he says they were too good for this world, too good for the world. They wandered over deserts and mountains and hiding in caves and holes in the ground. Are you and I too good for this world? There was an unbeliever, I asked a senior lady who has been a Christian for a long time, and she said, he asked her, are you not afraid you will slip through his fingers? The unbeliever asked this godly senior lady, and she says, how can I? I am one of his fingers. Too good for this world. Are we too good for this world? So I thank you for singing that song in verse for 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's look at verse 14. He says, of these things put them in remembrance, talking about all the things that we just got done talking about, the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. If we be dead with Christ, we're going to live with him. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us, but his message will stay true. These things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So if you're going to be able to do that, you need to study. You need to show yourself approved unto God and rightly dividing the word of truth so that you can shun and profane vain babblings. So we need to be able to know the truth, know God's word. another thing he tells us, we're to avoid godless questions, avoid godless and foolish discussions that lead to more and more ungodliness. And I've been in conversations like that where it's like, and I thought about that today, do we just not, sometimes you had enough conversation and you need to allow God to continue to work in their lives and not try it and just allow him to do the work and maybe walk away from some discussions. I'll let the Lord and the word speak to you on that one. It's a tough call sometimes to know whether you have another conversation, do you go back and talk again, or don't you? And allow God to give you direction. Another one he says here is a good one for us. Run away from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we're supposed to flee and follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them out of the that call upon the Lord. You need to have some other people beside you. We need the fellowship like we have here this week. You need to be with other people if you expect to flee youthful lusts. You can't do it by yourself. You need other people to walk with you. You know, what voices are you listening to? Are you listening to voices that tell you to flee youthful lusts and to follow after the good things of God? So we need to be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. We need to worry, allow the affairs of this world to distract us. The soldier's got to be focused. He's got to be disciplined. We need to lay aside, make sure we're not involved too heavily in the things of this world. We need to play by the rules. We need to appreciate the harvest. We need to know that God's word cannot be changed. God is faithful to bring us to himself and gently teach the word. God may open their eyes to his word, for God's word cannot be chained. For the word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Let's pray.